Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, Dinah Jansen, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their last meeting, Council voted to provide $300,000 to support the city's first inclusive playground, set to be built in the Rideau Heights District. Over the last year, community members have come together to form the Inclusive Play Project, working with Extenda Family and a number of other organizations, in response to a lack of inclusive and accessible playgrounds in the city. Inclusive Play Project representatives shared evidence of this gap found in a survey the group conducted recently.
We've also recently completed an online survey where we had almost 200 responses. Throughout that survey, we found that 98% of people who responded felt that Kingston playgrounds currently do not meet our community's needs. 98% also said that they did not feel that Kingston playgrounds were inclusive to all. 85% said that they did not feel that our playgrounds currently address the age span of 0 to 12 years, which is what is currently stated.
They also shared some of the most prevalent feedback they received from community members.
On our survey, we also had hundreds of responses that were added to the questions that we asked. I'd just like to take a moment to share a couple with you. One of them stated, "The lack of inclusive play spaces isolated my daughter from her peers and has caused long-term mental health and social difficulties. If she had been able to continue enjoying her friends after she began using a wheelchair, she would likely not have the struggles as significantly as she does." We also heard from a number of families who indicated that the current Kingston parks do not meet the needs of families who have multiple children at different ages and stages and abilities. I think one of the things that we noticed in a lot of the responses with it is that there are a lot of small parkette type places throughout Kingston. And while that makes it so that it's easy to get to one, people are finding that there isn't the play value in terms of wanting to stay for a longer period of time. Or if you have children of multiple different ages, there aren't things there that are interesting for all of them. And so I think that that really kind of struck us in terms of how do you find to develop a space that not only meets the needs for not one age group or ability, but kind of how do you find a way that people can play together and want to stay.
In addition to classic features of a playground like slides and monkey bars, an accessible playground would include features like rubberized surfacing, ramps, and a wheelchair rocker. The project has already received an outpouring of support from the community over the last few months, with close to $200,000 already being raised by Inclusive Play Project volunteers before coming before council last week. Prior to the council meeting, Inclusive Play Project volunteers gathered before City Hall and were even joined by some councillors sporting Inclusive Play Project shirts to show their support.
When we first pitched this idea, it started as a park, and then it became a fundraising campaign. And now what we have on our hands is very clearly a movement that grows by the day, and we are so excited to be a part of it.
Councillors unanimously approved the motion to provide $300,000 from the Municipal Capital Reserve Fund for partial funding of the Inclusive Playground Project. The city also provided public land at Shannon Park, and will be conducting maintenance of the structure when it is complete.
Isn't this great to see a community project that started a year ago and look how much progress they have made? I'm humbly urging everyone in this council to endorse this tonight. Think of what addition this would make to Kingston, and that we're really starting a kind of new park that could be a pilot for all other parks in the area.
With the project having an estimated budget of $1.5 million, the Inclusive Play Project is continuing to raise funds. They currently have $650,000 in grant requests pending approval, and additional grant applications in progress. There are also high hopes that more of these structures will be built around the city after this milestone is complete.
We don't want this to be the only park. Given the incredible success of the fundraising and just the response from the community, we want to see more of these.
More information about the Inclusive Play Project can be found on their website. The city has provided the first public statement on the status of the Lemoyne Point Farm property, sharing that they are currently in negotiations with the state trustees to acquire the property. The waterfront property located at 2000 Front Road has been a highly discussed topic within the community since longtime owner Mary Fraser passed away in 2022, leaving the space in limbo. Conversations between the city, the estate, and community partners have been behind closed doors until this most recent release. For the city, this property is an opportunity to advance their goals of providing a connected and accessible waterfront and more opportunities for urban farming. At this point, the city and Fraser's estate trustees disagree on how to interpret parts of the will. In the update from the city, it was explained that Fraser's will gives the city an option to purchase the property under certain conditions, including keeping, as far as possible, the property zoned for rural use. They are currently awaiting advice and guidance from the Ontario Superior Court to move forward. In the release, it was stated, quote, "The city recognizes the importance of respecting Ms. Fraser's intentions as well as the property's natural and cultural heritage significance to the residents of Kingston. The city is committed to continuing to work with the estate trustees through negotiation, mediation, or if necessary, litigation to advance the city's interpretation of Ms. Fraser's will," end quote. Advocates for the preservation and community use of the property at 2000 Front Road, the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, have been supportive of the city's pursuit to acquire the property. CFRC sat down with Jim Biagi, a member of the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group. Here is a bit of that conversation. This is the first public statement the city has made on the Lemoyne Point Farm property in this explicit way. How is SLPF feeling about this development?
We're quite pleased. The city has mostly discussed the farm, as they call it, 2000 Front Road West, at an in-camera or on an in-camera capacity. And so this announcement is firstly at least some news about the developments, and then secondly I think we're quite pleased that the city is so serious about both trying to acquire the property and in their statement indicating how they want to preserve the property for Kingstonians.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this sort of similar to what you've already been told in private discussions or heard through the grapevine, or is this sort of really new information?
We've had some verbal communications with councillors and mayor, but they've been very professional in having the in-camera requirements of not sharing information. I think we had a sense that the city was in communication with the estate already and looking at the possibility of buying the property, but two years and some months have passed since the estate became active when the prior owner Mary Fraser died. So it's been quite a while.
BIG also clarified the nature of the disagreements and how to interpret the will referred to in the update.
There are questions for clarity around the requirements of the will and the interests of the city. So two appraisals have been submitted on the property with quite disparate numbers, one at roughly $9 million and one at roughly $29 million. And the average, of course, is an average of two very disparate numbers. And so the terms that apply if the city does acquire the property is to maintain the property as a rural designation, which would put its value much less than if the property was put open to development. And I suppose if there is some speculation, I think that's where you might see a big discrepancy between a lower appraisal number and a higher appraisal number. After some negotiation between the estate and the city, the executors of the estate filed a notice of application in the Toronto, Ontario Superior Court asking for advice clarifying the meaning of some aspects of the secondary will. And so the executors are asking the court to do several things: clarify the authority of the estate trustees to select appraisers, to rule on the right of the city to review the appraiser's methodology, to confirm the meaning of certain clauses about the city purchasing the farm, and to request that a decision be forthcoming within 180 days. So there does seem at least to be an attempt to conclude this business in a relatively timely fashion.
At this point, the city has declined requests for further comment, stating that the information distributed through the short release is all that can be provided at this time. More details will be shared in the future, and the city encourages community organizations and residents to continue to share their input.
Overall, I would say that our group is very pleased with the city's position and their eagerness to look at the property as an area that could be beneficial to the whole city of Kingston, which is exciting.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News with the latest on the Lemoyne Point Farm property.
Thanks so much, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. Continuing this month at the TED until August 31st, we'll be contemplating Glacier's A Dialogue, a solo exhibition from artist Jan Kabatoff, curated by Jessica Turner. The exhibition will include photography, sculpture, paintings, video, audio, and even a virtual reality element using the Oculus headset, as well as footage from a documentary on the melting of the Athabasca Glacier, which is currently in production from this creative team. All ages are welcome to peruse this exhibition in the TED Center Gallery, and it is free to do so, though exhibition hours may vary. There's also a new event and exhibitions at the TED all the time, and you can learn more at tedcenter.org/events. Registration for fall term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops. This includes adult classes in drawing, fiber and textile arts, mixed media, painting, printmaking, and sculpture, and youth programs for kids ages 6 to 16 and families. There's also a variety of 1 and 2 day workshops available for registration. As well, applications are now open for the first annual KSOA member show, and members can submit pieces on their website now. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. This and every summer Tuesday, you can head down to Springer Market Square for Salsa in the Square from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., enjoy a free beginner class, and then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also, every Wednesday summer evening, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs in the Square from 7 to 8 p.m. And every summer Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country music. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in 4 more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square and Springer Market Square on Thursday evenings this summer, and the full lineup has now been announced. This week, August 22nd, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, starts at dusk. You can also catch Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now and bring your blankets, chairs, and bug spray to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. Coming up at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special screenings of 1940's Rebecca on August 20th and 22nd, and 1963's The Birds on August 24th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th as part of the Summer Alfred Hitchcock Presents series. As well, 1974's Phantom of Paradise will be shown in 50th anniversary screenings on August 20th, 21st, and 22nd. As well, 40th anniversary screenings of Purple Rain will be playing on August 24th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. Also coming up at the screening room is Cat Video Fest 2024 from August 17th to 22nd, a fundraiser where 10% of all ticket sales will be donated to Kingston Animal Rescue, featuring compilations of the latest and best cat videos of the internet on the big screen. Their 2024 classic movie poll for audience suggestions is now open at their website, and there are also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for all of your cinema adventures. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and today's sports report is actually a special teaser trailer hyping the upcoming season of Queens football right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is our 101st season covering the team, and as you'll hear with this teaser trailer, it's shaping up to be one of the most eventful seasons ever.
Absolute heartbreaker at Richardson Stadium. I'm gonna be sick. This is the worst day of my life. Rolling, throwing, picked, ball game. Western will win as Alex Freakin's heroic attempt comes up short.
The greater the expectations, the heavier the weight. And in 2023, the Queen's Gaels had the weight of the world on their shoulders. And then it all came crashing down.
Alex Freakin is down after a gutless hit!
But in spite of the losses, the injuries, and the overwhelming weight of great expectations, this Gaels team did not crumble. And now a new season means new expectations, new pressures, new challenges, and most importantly, a new opportunity for the Gaels to be golden once more. Can this squad end the title drought? Will Queens become kings of Ontario football? There's only one way to find out, and there's only one place to catch all the action.
This is electric. This is Queens football on CFRC.
Now for your CFRC traffic report for this evening. Pavement rehabilitations will be taking place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. MacDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 eastbound and westbound at Sydenham Road to Gardner's Road, lane and ramp closures. August 19th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., August 20th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., August 21st from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., and August 22nd from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for this week, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity. Cataract Way Woods Drive at Holden and at Woodhaven, closed beginning August 20th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day to accommodate signage installation and line painting. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until September 1st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will remain open to local traffic. King Street, Plast Arms to north end of King, closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. Road will be open to local traffic. Market Street, King to Ontario, closed August 23rd from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. for the Kingston Humane Society event at Springer Market Square. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for the Queen's J-Duck project. Wellington Street, Earl to Gore, closed beginning August 19th to September 10th for a new water service installation. And finally, Wellington Street, Main to George, closed until August 30th to accommodate construction-related activity for the Berryfield Highlands subdivision project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Restoration Project is underway and is expected to conclude in late December 2024. No more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages and the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen while construction work is done. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abidjan to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidjan Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. John Counter Boulevard at Montreal. Expect delays while a contractor completes interim intersection improvements. Work will take place overnight from Sunday night to Friday mornings during the week and on weekends during the day. Johnson Street, Portsmouth to Robert Wallace. Expect a westbound lane closure until August 29th for storm sewer and gas relocation work. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. Portsmouth Avenue, Miles to Johnson, expect a southbound lane closure until August 29th for storm and sewer gas relocation work. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. You can find details on any of those projects on Get Involved Kingston. That wraps up your CFRC traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar with Paige.
It's time for CFRC's concert and events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through CFRC.ca today. On Monday, August 19th, head down to the club at the RCHA for an afternoon of early jazz from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. with Jasmine Wibodish. Tickets are just $5. The Cove Inn host Gerald McGrath is part of their monthly musical residency. Enjoy a solo show with engaging soundscapes from 5 to 8 p.m. and admission is by donation. Head down to the Royal Tavern 2.0 for a night of poetry, storytelling, and music. This event is free to attend and runs from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. On Tuesday, August 20th, enjoy a happy hour and jam with Tom Savage and friends at the club at the RCHA. The afternoon show runs from 4 to 7 p.m. and is free to attend. Montreal-based British-French producer Joni Boyd is coming to Hotel Wolf Island this Tuesday. They play experimental camatronic multi-genre music and the show runs from 6 to 9 p.m. and is free to attend. From 6:30 to 10, come dance in Springer Market Square with Salsa in the Square. Featuring electrifying beats, spicy moves, and fun, no experience necessary. The event is free to attend. From 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., enjoy Ontario's oldest market in Kingston Market Square, featuring local produce, pre-made food, and artisanal crafts. Open every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. On Wednesday, August 21st, Hotel Wolf Island is hosting Winnipeg-based trio The Jansen Boys. From 6 to 9 p.m., enjoy rootsy harmony-based folk. The show is free to attend. Walk down the Springer Market Square for Swing in Summer for the romantic songs of yesteryear with LaSalle Causeway Swing Band. The show plays from 7 to 8 p.m. and is free to attend. Bring your friends and family and enjoy the summer weather. Bring your competitive spirit to DAF Brewing for trivia. The game is from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Teams can be a max of 6 people and there is $100 in prizes. The event is free to attend, grab a drink and have fun. Experience a night of military precision, disciplined marching, rifle drills and fireworks at historic Fort Henry with the Fort Henry Guard. The show is from 7 to 8:30 p.m., perfect time to watch the sunset with friends and family. For tickets, go to www.forthenry.com. On Thursday, August 22nd, Juno Award-winning blues artist Garrett Mason is playing the Cove Inn. Tickets are $25 and the show runs from 8 to 10 p.m. Have a trippy Thursday night with genre fluid psychedelic band Holy Wow playing Hotel Wolf Island. The show runs from 8:30 to 11 p.m. and admission is by donation. Kingston Blues Society presents three nights of blues and fun at outdoor venues as well as the club at the RCHA. Featuring George Kilby Jr., Miss Emily, Hellbound Trail, and Sweet Pete in the Heat. For ticket information and venues, check out eventbrite.ca. Have an old hoodie collecting dust bunnies in the back of your closet? Bring it over to DAF Brewing and support Hoodies for the Homeless, a live music event featuring local Kingston artists Clem Chesterfield, The Millwrights, Laser Bear, Tom Savage, and more. The event starts at 5 p.m. and the music starts at 6 p.m. Need an idea for a date night or are the kids getting antsy? Head over to Springer Market Square for the Movies in the Park. This Thursday features Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. The movie starts when the sun goes down around 8 p.m. Don't forget your lawn chair and extra cash for snacks. On Friday, August 23rd, every Friday from 7 to 10 p.m., Christopher Jackson and friends play Blue Martini for a rockin' good time. Admission is free. Put on your dancing shoes and head over to Hotel Wolf Island for Bill Coleman. Enjoy a night of improvised dance music from 7 to 9 p.m. Admission is free. Dust off your cowboy boots for a night of country at Next Church, featuring Hobby, Cody Allen James and Good Co., Customer Service and Brock Mattson. The show is from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. and tickets are $15. Head down to Springer Market Square for Tunes for Tales celebrating 140 years of compassion with the Kingston Humane Society. Featuring Miss Emily, The Wilderness and Evan Rotella, the show starts at 7 p.m. and is free to attend. The Toucan hosts Kingston-based artists Futura Free, Willy Nilly, The Echoes, and Matt Almeida from 10:30 to 2 a.m. Hang out and have a drink and enjoy the night of live music for free. Kingston Penn Tours welcome back outdoor movies at Kingston Penn. This Friday is a screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and Saturday is Oppenheimer. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the movie starts at 8 p.m. Don't forget your lawn chair. Tickets are general admission at $18.70 plus tax, and don't forget to bring extra cash for snacks. On Saturday, August 24th, are you a fan of John Mellencamp, James Taylor, and Blue Rodeo? Well, Jeff Calorie's for you. Head down to the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. to enjoy the tunes for free. Spend your Saturday night at the Royal Tavern 2.0 featuring Courtney Kane from 3 to 5 p.m., Paula Wood from 6 to 8 p.m., and stay late with Crystal Fisher in the Engine 1095 from 9 to 2 a.m. Admission is free. Local bands Rated Blue and the Evan Jackson Band are playing the Toucan from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Grab a drink and hang out and enjoy. The admission is free. Limestone City Burlesque takes on Shakespeare like you've never seen before. Leather, chains, regicide. Need I say more? Head down to the Royal Theatre Thousand Islands to watch the show from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are $20. Bring your friends and family to Sydenham Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday for summer fun on Sydenham. Featuring live music from Roger James, family-friendly activities, and fun entertainers. Head down to Top Shelf Distillers August 24th and 25th for the Ontario Moonshine Festival. Featuring live music, food, and unique spirits, this is something for everyone. The event runs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and is free for all ages. On Sunday, August 25th, support the celebration of Little Cat's 60th anniversary with Cataraqui Conservation. Featuring local musicians Sticky Henderson and Christopher Jackson, the show is held in the beautiful Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area from 1 to 4 p.m. and tickets are $20. The show is for all ages. The Pub at the Opinicon presents Somerset Combo as part of their 2024 live music series. From 2 to 5 p.m., enjoy the outdoor show. Reservations are encouraged. The show is free. Singer-songwriter with inspirations of folk, country, and rock, Tyson Sullivan, is playing Spearhead Brewery this Sunday. From 2 to 5 p.m., enjoy the music. Admission is free. Enjoy the music of ABBA at Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 8:45 to 10:15 p.m. The Candlelit Tribute brings true magic to your Sunday. The tickets are $35, general admission. Head over to Kingston Memorial Center for Loving Spoonful and the Memorial Farmers Market's new event, a block party featuring artists DJ Third Place and DJ LK. The party is a celebration of local food and runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring your friends and enjoy the traditional market with a festive flair. The event is free to attend. Montreal Street Collective presents a vintage market on Montreal Street, featuring several downtown vintage thrift shops and local artisans. The market runs from 9 to 5 p.m. The event is free to attend. That's all for this week's concert and events calendar.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.